This program is sponsored by Sword and Dove Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Thanks for tuning in to Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Folder, a call-in talk show that looks at current events and major issues of our generation through the lens of the sure word of faith and prophecy.
Back again. Yes, we are live and we have a guest in studio. We'll get to him in a moment. Welcome. You're listening to Understanding the Times. And this is going to be one of the great resources. Our podcast library is going to be hard to top because we have such a variety of topics and we go deep. We get into the meat of the word. We cover the whole counsel of God and we don't rob the church of the Holy Ghost power. This is the age of the Holy Ghost, and we need his power just as much today as they needed it in the book of Acts in the first century. Amen. We got young style, the baby James Dean on the other side with his black and white cult of wardrobes.
Everything's a cult, huh?
Everything's a cult.
Everything's a cult.
The cult of the Snickers. It's the most innocent cult of all.
How are you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing well in Jesus' name. I do want to give thanks to my number one sponsor, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to be talking about a parable in Matthew 24 tonight, the parable of the two servants or household managers or stewards. And Jesus is the Lord of the estate. He's the one in the story that is a wealthy landowner, you might say an aristocrat, who has to take a journey, and he leaves his guy in charge. He leaves the butler, the porter, the goodman, but he leaves him in charge, and he tests him. He tests him, he watches him, and he's going to come back and surprise him. He's going to come back, or hopefully not surprise him, but he may, because he's not going to tell him when he's going to return. Anyways, we'll be talking about that story. You could probably figure who our guest is, and we'll get to him in a moment. But first, we have dad jokes. Some dad jokes. Are you ready, Style?
I'm always ready.
Within seconds, the detectives knew what the murder weapon was. You know what?
What?
It was a briefcase.
I like that more than I should, probably.
You know, the pirates, when receiving payment in gold, they used to verify its purity by biting the gold coin. And that's how we got Bitcoin.
That's pretty good, too.
Style, have you ever tried blindfolded archery?
Can't say I have.
You don't know what you're missing. Did you hear about the dog that ate a lot of garlic and onions?
Tell me about him.
His bark was worse than his bite.
Some good ones this week.
I'll save this other one for the next time.
They were too strong. You had to save one off.
Yes. Yeah.
I got to give it to the briefcase.
The briefcase. The
briefcase
first
is good.
Briefcase. Okay. All righty. You have it. You heard it there, folks. We are a live call-in talk show. Our number is 888-677-WORD 9673. If you agree, if you don't understand, if you got a question, if you disagree, give us a call. Our guest tonight is none other than Professor AC, and that stands for almost certain.
Slight correction, Mike.
Slight correction.
Absolutely certain.
Absolutely certain. Oh, you're still sticking to your guns on that.
I'm sticking to my position.
We're going to put you to the test tonight on this parable in Matthew 24. We're continuing our series on the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24. Folks, we are covering it like nobody's business, like nobody out there covers Matthew 24. And we believe, we truly, honestly believe we have gotten down to the root of the matter. We've gotten down to the proper interpretation of what Jesus was talking about. And indeed, Jesus did talk about the rapture. Newsflash, indeed, Jesus did talk about a pre-tribulation rapture. And indeed, he may have even talked about a partial pre-tribulation rapture. But AC, welcome back on the show. We're glad to have you in studio.
Well, Mike, thank you for having me on again, and it's a privilege, and I'm looking forward to tonight because this show is going to clear up any confusion that people have about which rapture is going to be.
And it's important to get it right. It's important to get your belief system on the rapture right.
Yes,
because a few different levels of reasons.
Right. This is a parable that we're going to be doing on timing, and timing is essential.
Well, you've whetted our appetites. I would recommend you pull up Matthew 24, of course, in the King James, or get your Bible, and also Luke 12 in the King James. We'll be going back and forth because this parable is covered in both of these Gospels. And you need to look at both of them together because they kind of support one another, but they also fill in some details that the other doesn't. So
that's correct.
Especially the Luke 12 one gives us some very interesting tidbits and twists that we were going to get to today. So I want to open up by asking you a question, AC.
Okay.
Why is Matthew 24 and 25 such important chapters on end times that Jesus himself taught on? Why is it so often skipped or avoided or just almost sloppily handled when it comes to dissecting it, interpreting it, and teaching it?
Well, Mike, that's a good question.
Thank you.
And there's a few reasons for it. First of all, tragically, too many pastors, Bible teachers, and Christian authors are not teaching to whom Jesus directed the Olivet Discourse to. Most of the common opinion out there that it was directed exclusively to the Jews in the tribulation period.
That'd be a very small audience, wouldn't it?
It would be. And the reality is,
so now they feel they can just skip it over because it's for the Jews in the tribulation.
Right. And what that has caused is Christians then who listen to such teachers, they don't see any essential teaching for them. And this is not a good place to be.
And Paul says all scripture is inspired and all scripture is profitable for doctrine and correction and so forth, right?
Right.
And that especially includes Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13, Luke 21, 17. All those are part of that Olivet Discourse.
Yes. And another reason is a lot of pastors, Bible teachers, and Christian authors don't like the four parables. We're going to be covering the second of the four parables tonight. And they don't like those parables. They don't like covering them because they don't like the outcomes.
Mm.
And we're going to find here that this parable is essential to understand, and it cannot be applied to the Jews in the tribulation period.
And you're going to prove that.
Yes.
They don't like the fact that it just might, these four parables, we're talking the parable of the goodman or the porter and the thief.
Yes.
That's a very brief one.
Right.
We covered in our last podcast,
right,
which you can go to at swordanddoveministries.com. Go to the Olivet Discourse button. And they don't like this one, the parable of the two servants, because it just might apply to Christian leaders and pastors.
Yes.
And they don't like the parable of the 10 virgins because they can't figure out who in the world are these 5 foolish virgins, really. They don't give you a good answer for that, ever. And the fourth one is the parable of the talents, which
right,
we will get to down the road.
Right, right.
So take it away. This parable of the two servants, it's the two servants in Matthew 24, but in Luke 12, it's the one servant who has two choices or roads that he can take.
That's correct.
And that might even be the better way to look at this, but go ahead.
Well, just to briefly review from the last show that we did, this is the second in a series of four parables, and these four parables have four things in common. The first thing they have in common is there is absolutely no reference whatsoever to death or hell in any of these four parables. The second point of commonality is each of these four parables talk about a coming of Jesus, but no arrival.
Mm.
The third point of commonality is there is a tribulational consequence in each of the four parables for missing or not being prepared for the coming. And the fourth point of commonality is that each of these parables is directed exclusively to born-again Christians and not in any way to unsaved sinners.
Including Jews, who are going to be unsaved for 99% of the Great Tribulation.
Right, yeah.
And they don't get saved, at least a portion of them, until the very end of
right.
the Great Tribulation, those 7 years, right?
Right.
So you're convinced, you're absolutely certain that this is for the church and born-again people, these messages and parables.
Yes.
That he was speaking to those disciples on the Mount of Olives the week that he was to be crucified.
Right.
That he was speaking to them as disciples, followers, and Christians, not Jews, really, per se, even though that was their background.
Right. And at the very first show that we did, Mike, way back, I believe it was in 2022, okay, the disciples who asked the questions must represent born-again Christians. Why? Because each of them had committed their lives to Jesus. And they asked intelligent questions. They asked three intelligent questions.
Hmm.
And so there's no way people should interpret the audience here as the unsaved.
Well, this is why I'm encouraging you folks to get out there. If you want to be a serious Bible student, if you want to understand eschatology, the study of end times, if you want to be ready for the rapture, then you need to go listen to our series on the Olivet Discourse. You got to start with the first one way back and just work your way through these podcasts. It is probably the best. I have been my horizons have been greatly enlarged as we've taken a deep dive into Matthew 24. It's like taking probably one of the best Bible seminary courses you can out there, and we have a lot of fun along the way. But again, we're a live call-in talk show. You can hear us live. If you can't get us on your radio, you can go online. You can go to Odyssey. You can go to iHeart and use your app on your phone or your TV. Or you can go to the station site, thewordcleveland.com. Look for the blue Listen Live at the top. But we are coming to you live from the studios of Salem Communication in Seatown, Ohio.
A little stress lately from work.
I needed that report like yesterday.
From home.
You better not have flushed another gerbil down.
From the world. A new tropical pandemic has formed in the mid-Atlantic. A fourth layer of masking is now required. Then treat yourself to a touch of healing massage. It's simply the best. This Christian-based practice has provided certified massage therapy for 3 decades within Westlake Chiropractic. So if you or someone you know needs deep tissue or relaxation massage, then call or text Nanette at Touch of Healing, 216-346-5867. Gift certificates available. Mention this show and get $10 off on your first visit. That's Nanette, like the play No No Nanette, at 216-346-5867. So don't stress, but de-stress with a touch of healing massage.
Oh. Now back to Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Fogle.
And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Barry McGuire, one of AC's favorites, We are on the eve of destruction.
Yes,
you can see it. You can see it looking around. It ain't hard to see, folks, looking at the news, looking at the alignment of the nations, the stirring of the nations, looking at Israel and the Middle East. We are in the rapture generation. It's coming soon, folks. You better wake up. You better perk up. You better listen and learn. Amen. Hey, listen, we're taking a team next week. I'm going to Cambodia, folks. It's a mission trip. It's a mission trip, and we need your support. We need to beef up our general fund, just like Paul beefed up his general fund, a collection. Everywhere he went, he took a collection. Why? He was going back to Judea to help those churches there that were poor. And we're going to Cambodia, and we're looking for ways to help the churches and pastors there with projects and things. And the Lord will show us all kinds of things. So we need to beef up our general fund. So you can donate. We appreciate it. Donate. Missions. Listen, folks, you can't make a better investment than missions. Great Commission. Ain't that right, AC?
Yes.
You can't. I don't care about your 401k. I don't care about the stock market, gold. You can't make a better investment than in the kingdom of God for missions. That is the heart of God. Amen. I always told myself, my wife, even my kids, if a missionary comes to church, we don't have to think about it. We don't have to pray about it. We're going to give them something. We'll pray about how much, because, you know, you got to decide on your own how much. And if a mission team is going, we're going to support them. If any of those mission team members come to me, I'm going to give them something, because they're bold to go, and they're bold to come and ask. And it's not because they're lazy that they're asking. It's not because they're greedy, because it's scriptural. We need goers and we need senders. So go to swordanddoveministries.com and hit that donate button, and you can give generously, and you can designate it for Cambodia, and we'll be grateful, and God will bless you. You'll get a 30, maybe a 60, or maybe even a 100-fold return. AC, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I've been on the mission field. I made 2 missionary trips to the continent of Africa, and I found the people to be very open, very teachable, and at that time, I felt that more could be done there in 2 weeks than could be done here. But God is moving, though.
Amen. All right, AC, why don't you take it, take off on this parable, because it's not covered very much, very often, or very well.
That's exactly right. Okay, so here, Jesus starts out in verse 45, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?" Now, there's some interesting points here. Jesus is asking a question, but he's saying that the Lord of this servant hath made ruler, the Lord hath made him ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Well, this isn't just an ordinary servant, an ordinary member of a congregation. This is actually a servant pastor, because only a pastor has been given the rule over a household of faith.
So we learn that in Hebrews 13.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Right. And there's 2 places in Hebrews 13 that make it clear that a pastor has the rule over a congregation.
We're talking a senior pastor or a bishop or whatever they're called.
Right. Well, it could be an associate pastor too.
Yeah.
And even though they have the rule over a congregation, they have great accountability to God, okay?
It could even be a sub-pastor who's leading maybe a weekly Bible study or a small group or something, too. They have a little flock, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
They're responsible for what they present and teach
yes.
on this subject and whether they even cover it or not.
Right. So this faithful and wise servant is to give his household of faith meat in due season. What does Jesus mean here? Meat is talking about the meat of the word, not the milk of the word, not salvation 101, But the deeper doctrines, such as end time prophecy.
Pre-tribulation rapture.
Right, right, exactly.
Also would include the Holy Ghost power, baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
Divine healing, casting out devils.
Right.
All that's the meat.
Right. The deeper doctrines. And this meat is to be given in due season. In other words, it has to be given in a timely manner so that the congregation can digest the meat and have it digested in time for an upcoming event. So the Lord goes on here and says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Notice Jesus says here, when he cometh. He doesn't say when he arriveth. So this is talking about a coming of the Lord, but not an arrival.
And that's been true throughout the chapter. He keeps talking about a coming.
Right.
For the most part. You know, what we refer to as the pre-tribulation rapture, a secret, private coming that the world doesn't really see.
Well, and the disciples in the beginning of this asked, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And in answering the question, Jesus made it clear that the coming for which they're asking a sign for has no arrival whatsoever anywhere on planet Earth.
Okay.
So, the Lord goes on and says, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Well, this is quite a reward, Mike, and I think it would be properly interpreted as a reward that would be in heaven.
Or in the millennial kingdom on earth.
Right.
In that thousand-year reign.
Right.
Who's the his, all his goods? Is he referring to the Lord's goods?
Yes.
It should be a capital H, really, not a small H. The ruler over all his goods.
Right.
Or all that he has is what Luke says, all that he has.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to look at the other kind of servant. And we have to keep in mind here, this is why I said earlier that this parable is directed exclusively to born-again Christians, because both of the servants worship the same Lord. And both of the servants are expecting the Lord to come. And both of the servants have knowledge of the Lord's coming. So you can't say, nobody could say that the evil servant represents somebody that's unsaved, because they are both servants of the Lord, and the Lord makes this clear here.
So that eliminates one of the common interpretations of this parable, that one is a sound, sincere Christian pastor, and the other, the evil servant, is a cult leader.
Right.
That's how I used to look at this. One's like a cult leader who's not really saved or saved anymore, and one's a good pastor.
Right.
But you're saying, no, it's more than that.
Right. So the evil servant that the Lord's about to talk about in verse 48, we also have to apply the same guidelines from the first verse here in verse 45. We should assume that the evil servant also has been made a ruler over a household and should be giving those individuals meat in due season.
Right.
But here's what we find out. The Lord says in verse 48, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now, why is this servant evil? Because he's deciding something in his heart that is outside of God's will or against God's will. So he's coming to the conclusion that the Lord's going to delay his coming. Now, this has very profound implications, Mike.
You wouldn't think so on face value, but it does, doesn't it?
It does.
As you go on through the parable.
Right, right. Now, at this point, I want to bring up the four rapture doctrines that are out there, because this parable clearly teaches only one rapture doctrine. So the four rapture doctrines are the pre-tribulation rapture, where Jesus comes before the seven-year tribulation.
And it starts the seven-year tribulation.
Right, exactly. And Jesus made that clear in Luke chapter 17 and other places. And then there's the post-tribulation rapture, which recently has found a migration of a lot of pre-tribbers. They've migrated to the post-tribulation position.
That's not a good migration, is it?
No, no. But as a result of things that have happened in the last several years with the shutdown of churches due to the COVID situation, a lot of people have decided, well, there's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, so they've decided to believe in a post-tribulation rapture. And then you have the mid-tribulation rapture, which is that Jesus will come in the middle of the tribulation period, exactly 3.5 years instead of exactly 7 years. And then you have another view that's kind of complicated. It's called the pre-wrath rapture. And the pre-wrathers believe that Jesus will come after the start of the tribulation period, but not quite as far down the road as the middle of it. And they claim there's a transition point between the wrath of man and the wrath of God. But scripturally, the whole seven-year tribulation period is the wrath of God. In fact, it's the flood of God's wrath.
Just like Noah's flood, the flood of Noah's day was the wrath of God, right?
Right, exactly.
And the brimstone that came down on Sodom and Gomorrah was the wrath of God entirely.
Yes, definitely.
I might add there's no tribbers out there. They don't believe there's going to be a great tribulation. And then there's the pan tribbers. Do you want to comment real quick on those?
Yeah, the pan tribbers actually mock the rapture. And this is tragic, but this is what they do. They say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe about the timing of the rapture. It's all going to pan out in the end, and you don't need to be concerned about it. Don't major in the minors. Don't be concerned about details of timing.
Which is actually opposite of what Jesus is emphasizing in the Olivet Discourse.
Yes, exactly.
That's totally contrary.
Right. So it's a mocking sort of view.
And so they're not taking it seriously. Therefore, they're not really worried about getting ready, being ready, staying pure, staying on their toes spiritually.
That's exactly right.
And we're going to pick up on that when we come back on the other side. You are listening to Understanding the Times. You can hear all our podcasts. There's over 150 of them now in that virtual library for the sunset of the church age. And you can go to swordanddoveministries.com to hear our podcasts. And there's 18 different category buttons with 18 different pictures of yours truly. And you can vote on what's the zaniest and the coolest. You can also hear our podcast on Audible, Spotify, and, of course, the station site, thewordcleveland.com. But we are coming to you live from the north coast of what used to be the good old USA, and we're hoping it will return again.
Are you rapture ready? Are we on the eve of the great Mideast War of Ezekiel 38 and 39? Is Daniel's metallic statue of empire still in play 2,500 years later? And what did Jesus say about end times? Order your copy of Mike Fodor's course from Sword and Dove Home Study Academy, End Time Prophecy, The Mysterious Unraveled. This pre-recorded class captures students' comments, gripping stories, and lighthearted humor. This course comes in an attractive 10 CD case or in MP3 files, class handouts included. To order, call or text Mike at 216-346-0789 or email understandingthetimes1220@gmail.com. A $50 donation to Sword and Dove Ministries for the 10 CD set for your library. A $25 donation for 10 MP3 files. That's 216-346-0789 or email understandingthetimes1220@gmail.com.
Now back to
Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Foley.
It's the sign of the times that your love for me is getting so much stronger.
Yes, the prophet AC is a sign of the times himself. He is banging the drum, blowing the trumpet. Hey, listen, if you're looking for a great local church here in Northeast Ohio, one that's friendly, one that has a diverse demographics, one that believes in a pre-tribulation rapture, one that has a great worship team and experience, one that teaches the meat of God's word with Pastor Bob Kistemaker, well, then check out New Life Church in Lakewood. That's the place for you. Our current series is on the generosity secret, and we have three services. We have 8:30, 10, and 11:30. On-site and online. The children's ministry is provided at the last two, by the way. So go to lnlc.org or Google New Life Lakewood to find us. Our motto, live like Jesus, minister like Jesus, and share his love. AC, I want to give you a chance to elaborate on this. He said in his heart, the Lord delays his coming. Why is that? That's evil. Jesus calls that evil thought.
Right.
Can you tell us why?
Yes. In the four rapture views that we talked about in the last segment, three of those views share some things in common. The post-tribbers, mid-tribbers, and pre-rathers all agree that the Lord Jesus is going to delay his coming until after the start of the tribulation period. Now, their start of the tribulation period is when the Antichrist is revealed and signs the seven-year covenant with Israel. So they are all teaching that Jesus is going to delay his coming until after the start of the tribulation period and the revelation of the Antichrist. These three rapture doctrines aren't looking for Jesus to come. They're looking for the Antichrist to come.
Then they'll start getting serious.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Mm.
So this is a very profound statement, Mike, and I just give God all the glory for showing me this, because this is nullifying all these alternate rapture views, which all openly oppose the pre-tribulation rapture. And they also agree that there will be no pre-tribulation rapture. And in fact, there is a video that has come out, and the name of the video is called Left Behind or Led Astray. And I've seen a trailer for this video, and they want you to spend some money and buy two DVDs, and they claim that nowhere in Scripture is there a verse or a passage that shows a pre-tribulation rapture.
And they actually go out to interview people to try to see if they can come up with verses, right?
Yeah.
I might add, they didn't come to us for interviews.
Yeah.
We challenge you out there, whoever this is, to come to Understanding the Times, and we will show you. Go ahead.
Yeah. And this video is extremely misleading. It openly opposes...
Well, what ministry is putting this out? They should know the name of the ministry.
Okay, well, the ministry that has put out the video is a ministry called Good Fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And...
What are they basically saying about people that are teaching a pre-trib rapture like ourselves?
Well, they're saying that there's no foundation for it in Scripture.
Can't give you a script for it.
Right. Mm. Or a passage. Okay? And we've got a passage right here in this parable.
And aren't they saying that you're doing your church a disservice and something like that if you teach about a pre-tribulation rapture?
Yes. On the trailer for the two DVD set, there's a spokesman who says that if your pastor of your congregation is not teaching you that you are going to have to face the Antichrist and preparing you to face the Antichrist, he is failing God.
Those are his words.
Yep.
So we have to get you ready to face the Antichrist, not
right.
looking for Jesus Christ.
Right.
Wow. And if you have to face the Antichrist, folks, that means that you are going to have to make the decision to take the mark of the beast, the 666. And you're going to have tremendous pressure on you to do that. And if you think you're saved, but if you take that mark, you ain't saved anymore. No more once saved, always saved. You end up in a great tribulation. Hey, we do got a caller. Sister Mary Grace. Now, I'm going to ask her to be brief and to the point because we have a lot to cover tonight, Sister Mary Grace.
I know.
Okay, go ahead.
My point is I was very upset when I heard Ronald Reagan Jr. He said he's not afraid. He's going to burn in hell, and he doesn't believe at all. And I was like, whoa. You know what I mean? Mm. He is so against it. He's an atheist, I guess. And I just thought you could comment on that. And I've been praying for him, which I pray for everybody. But my point is, why can't you guys first, before you go to Cambodia or when you come back, go and start fighting these human traffickers? Because, I mean, there's so many, and it's so hideous.
Well, we're going to the one of the greatest sources of sex trafficking in the world, and that's Cambodia. So,
yeah,
Jesus said to go to the nations. We're to minister locally, we're to minister regionally, and we're to go to the nations. AC, do you have a comment for Sister Mary Grace?
Yeah, but if I send a $50 check to you guys for your mission, you're going to receive it at Lakewood Church.
Yeah, if you make it to New Life Church and to the attention of the Cambodia mission team, it'll get into that account. And thank you very much for that, by the way. I don't have the address offhand, but if you can Google New Life Church Lakewood, I know it's on Detroit. It's 142 something. All right, AC, a comment for Sister Mary Grace?
Yes, Sister Mary Grace, the hour is so late that the coming of Jesus is so close, I will go so far as to say we are on borrowed time. And so Mike's effort to go overseas, he's trying to get the whole gospel out, and people need to know about the rapture. They need to get ready for the rapture, and they need to empty of these false rapture doctrines that are opposing the pre-tribulation rapture. So yes, human trafficking is a problem, but we can't solve all the world's problems. Hmm.
And I hope while I'm there to have the opportunity to share this message, the importance of the pre-tribulation rapture. But go ahead, pick it up. I think you wanted to get to, I think we're at verse 49 in Matthew 24.
Okay. Now, what does this evil servant do after he decides in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming? He begins to smite his fellow servants. In other words, he's smiting the wise and faithful servants who are not saying that the Lord's going to delay his coming. And then it says, and to eat and drink with the drunken. Now, Mike, there are several examples of smiting going on against people like you and I who are preaching and teaching a pre-tribulation rapture.
Smiting is a strong word.
Yes, yes. Jesus was smited on the face shortly before he was crucified, when he was before the chief priest, I believe it was. Hmm. So the smiting is going on, and I'll give you an example of this. There was a woman who went through the Holocaust. She herself was Gentile, but she helped Jews escape.
Corrie ten Boom.
Yes. And after the war, she at some point became a Christian, and then she prophesied that the church would be forced by God to go through the seven-year tribulation period.
Because the Jews had gone through 7 years
right.
of Holocaust in Europe.
Right, exactly. And so she called all pastors, Bible teachers who took a pre-tribulation position for a pre-tribulation rapture. She called them false prophets. Yeah. And she went on speaking engagements, and she wrote at least one book. And so a lot of damage was done to the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine by that. Additionally, okay, there is a nationally known talk show host who recently, in January, had a guest on. They were talking about the end times. And the talk show host said that the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine was bad theology, and that all bad theology is from the pit of hell. It's Satan's theology. And so he insulted what Jesus taught here in this parable and in Matthew 24 and other places.
They make it sound like we're looking for an easy way out, an easy escape, because we're wimps and we don't want to face persecution or tribulation. But the Word of God is the Word of God. Prophecy's laid out. God's already decided how it's going to play out, right?
Yes.
And there's plenty of persecution and tribulation already happening in the world today.
Right.
So if you've got this Americanized version that we need to go through the Great Tribulation because we really haven't suffered enough, we've got to prove ourselves. Well, you know, that sounds good on the surface, but it's not scriptural.
No, it's not.
It doesn't line up with the book of Revelation. It doesn't line up with the Olivet Discourse and Jesus' teaching.
And it's an insult to God because God is offering us one flight out to escape the terrible tribulation period. And people that want to go through the post-tribulation
want to go. I guess they're going to get their wish.
Yeah, they will. But
sounds like it the way you're bringing this forth. But we're going to pick up on the other side. So gather your thoughts. We're in the last lap. But we are coming to you live from the Great Lakes of North America. You're cruising along. Life is good. Got to enjoy my school years, you know. Then, boom, you're pregnant. You're stunned, panicked. There's three options: parent, abort, adopt. Before you choose and perhaps regret, contact American Adoptions. We offer counseling, financial aid, and support through your adoption journey. You can choose the next parents or still be the parent even after birth. Call 800-ADOPTION or visit AmericanAdoption.com. Give yourself a fresh start. Give your baby the gift of life.
Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Fogel. You got to change your evil
ways. Yeah, it's something that God calls these servant pastors evil just because they say the Lord delayeth his coming. And what does that lead to? AC, we got AC as our guest in studio. And AC, I made a list based on these two passages in Matthew 24 and Luke 12 on this parable. And there's six sins of the evil servant or pastor or teacher or whatever. Number one, they did not provide meat in due season to their flock or their household, their congregation. We talked about that, the meat of the word. Number two, they said in their heart, my Lord delays his coming. And that seemed to open the door for all kinds of things to start happening. Number three, they smite or beat their fellow servants and maidservants, right? They beat them down into submission, so to speak, I guess. And number four, they became more gluttonous, drunken, and got into more maybe a party mentality. Number five, they were not watching, they were not aware, they were not observant of the Lord's imminent return. And number six, even though it says he knew the Lord's will, yet he did not prepare himself to do the Lord's will. So those are the six sins of this evil servant. And again, I want to emphasize, Luke 12, the way Jesus presents the parable, it's one servant who's got the choice. He can go the wise way, or he can go the foolish, evil way. So go ahead and pick up AC.
Well, Mike, you're bringing up a good point here, and you had asked an earlier question before the show about this servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And then you brought up, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes.
And yeah, that, it says that seems a little confusing, but go ahead.
Right. Well, when it says, but he that knew not, this is really talking about an unbeliever, not necessarily a servant. Because if you're a servant of the Lord, you're going to know what the Lord's will is. Okay?
And Jesus doesn't use the word servant for that individual.
Exactly. Exactly. So somebody who knew about the rapture, knew about the pre-tribulation rapture, was born again, but missed the rapture, for example, because they rejected the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, and everybody who rejects the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine will not go in the pre-tribulation rapture.
That is a very strong claim to fame there, AC. All right.
The scripture backs me up on this. In fact,
you're absolutely certain.
Yes. Well, let's go on to the next sentence here of verse 48.
All right.
For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. What is this saying? If you're given the understanding of the rapture, you're going to be required to be obedient to that.
And you need to preach and teach it.
Right.
Even though you believe it, you still need to preach and teach it if you're
yes.
a pastor.
Right.
It's critical.
Right.
For preparation of the people.
And I've said on an earlier show, and I will repeat it again, God has higher standards for those Christians taken alive in the pre-tribulation rapture than he does for those who have died in Christ.
Wow, that's another heavy statement.
Well,
so you're saying it's a qualifying pre-tribulation rapture.
Yes.
As a Christian, you need to be found worthy, ready, pure and spotless, right? He's coming back for a glorious bride.
Right.
Without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That sounds like a very high bar to reach. How many people are going to make this rapture, AC? Five?
Well, Mike, God gives us what we need to be taken on the one flight out. And this all comes through the blood. And so the standards are high, but then the privilege is high. The rapture is actually a greater privilege than dying in Christ, because the Christian taken alive in the rapture never experiences death.
All right.
So,
well, that's why we want to keep short accounts with God. If you do sin and fall short, you can get cleansed and be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish right away by confessing your sin and meaning it, right?
Right.
Repenting and saying, Lord, help me not to do it again, instead of just going off and living a backslidden, prodigal life, right?
Right.
Leaving church, stop reading your Bible, stop having prayer time, talking to the Lord, and you still think you're going to make this privileged event? It's being taught out there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now, this evil servant, Matthew 24, he eats and drinks with the drunken. He eats spoiled meat, spoiled doctrinal meat,
spoiled
and he
meat.
Drinks with people that are drunken on their own opinions. Now, this is the judgment against this, okay? In verse 50, it says, the Lord of that servant, meaning Jesus, shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Well, he wasn't looking for Jesus because he was looking for the Antichrist to come.
Hmm.
Pretty sad. Now, here is the tribulational consequence that I talked about, the four points of commonality, the tribulational consequence. Verse 51. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not hell.
It sounds like hell.
There's no weeping in a burning hell, Mike. No weeping in a burning hell. There's gnashing of teeth, but no weeping.
So this isn't somebody being judged at the end of the Great Tribulation by Jesus and then sent off?
No.
No? Why
no,
not?
This
Why not?
Is being cut asunder, which means cut apart or cut in different directions, not necessarily physically cut, but we have a...
Cut off from something
right.
or some group. So it's a figurative rendition,
yes,
is what you're saying.
It's a symbolic reference.
It's not talking about Jesus having one of his angels chop him up into pieces with a sword.
No, yeah, that's not what happens here. Now, if you recall, and the listeners recall, we did a whole show on the carcass of Matthew 24, verse 28. And in that show, we proved that the carcass was the result of the pre-tribulation rapture, and those that were in the carcass were separated from those that were taken alive. And those that were taken in the carcass had walked after the flesh and not after the spirit. So this is referring to that cutting. When the rapture takes place, the body, the living part of the body, will be cut out, and all that will remain will be the carcass.
So you're saying this evil servant pastor ended up in the carcass and ended up in the Great Tribulation to his shock
right.
and awe and just a rude awakening.
Right.
And that's where the weeping and gnashing of teeth is going to come in
right.
because they're now in the Great Tribulation.
Right. People are going to weep that they missed the rapture. They knew about it, and they're going to gnash their teeth, and gnashing of teeth is an emotion of extreme anger. They're going to be angry at the pastors who taught anything other than a pre-tribulation rapture, and they're going to want answers. And we find that, going back again to Luke 12, it says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required." And then it says, "And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Imagine, Mike, somebody left behind in a church run by a pastor who didn't teach the pre-tribulation rapture, but taught one of the other kinds of raptures.
Or didn't teach on the rapture at all.
Right. These people in these churches have committed themselves to these churches, and when the rapture takes place and they're left behind, they're going to want answers. And they're going to be angry.
Well, it says the evil servant shall be beaten with many stripes.
Right.
That means during the Great Tribulation, especially at the beginning when they first realize, oh my gosh, I've missed it. I've been left behind.
Yeah.
They're going to beat themselves, first of all, right?
Yes, there's going to be.
With many stripes. They're not going to ever get over that, probably.
Right.
And then others are going to pile on, like you said, hey, why didn't you warn us? You know, why didn't you teach us right?
Right.
And then they may literally be chased down by the regime
right.
of Antichrist, right?
Right.
And be beaten literally and tortured, right?
Right.
And they're going to try to get them to deny Christ and
exactly.
take the mark and blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
And the scripture says, wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles will gather together, and the eagles will be after them.
And that's the stripes.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm going to let you got about a minute and a half, AC, to make your closing comments. And then we got to give style about 10 seconds.
Right. Well, this rapture is coming, and it's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, and any other kind of rapture is in open opposition to what Jesus taught. And all I can say is people need to believe what Jesus taught about the rapture, and they need to believe it's going to happen. They need to get ready for it, because the tribulation period is not a place you want to be. And it's coming soon.
And Jesus compared it to Noah's flood and
right.
the brimstone of fire on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
You want to get out.
Right.
You want to make sure you're ready. You know, you're not left behind.
And the 7-year tribulation period is the flood of God's wrath against planet Earth, which parallels the flood of Noah.
And it's going to be far worse and horrible than people can even imagine, right?
Right. Jesus said it was going to be a time unequaled in past history and will never be equaled again.
And the church at Philadelphia was promised that they would be spared. They would be taken out of that hour of temptation that will come on the whole world. That's what he was talking about.
Exactly.
The tribulation.
Right. Right.
Style, you have any closing comments, my friend?
I mean, we've talked on the show before about, false prophets and false ideology. If you're going to a church that's not preaching this doctrine, it's your duty to leave that church and speak out against it.
Or else try to get them to address it and start to do something on the topic. Right? All right. So we thank AC. Again, we encourage you to go to the swordanddoveministries.com, donate, and also check out the Olivet Discourse button and listen to our 6 previous shows on this chapter. It's been a great study. We'll have to have you back to pick up on that next parable in Matthew chapter 25 here.
Yes.
All right, AC.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you. Till next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Folder, a call-in talk show that looks at current events and major issues of our generation through the lens of the sure word of faith and prophecy.